Hey, Mark.
Hey, Tom.
Thanks for coming. Do you use a washcloth?
No.
Come on, the face. Is it good for the skin?
Absolutely not.
If it gets to the point where I have to take a shit on this thing, I'm hoping it explodes.
That's Freak City.
Specifically for cleaning the ass.
I never thought of that. Piss on me, beat me.
If I wore this to wake up my children, it would be immediate therapy.
A lot of men do, and it is nothing to be ashamed of.
This is awesome.
What is awesome?
I'm gonna fucking puke.
This is going to cost you so big.
Privy to some non-consensual ass play.
So the whole family shared one bar of soap.
Yeah, and you would put it in your ass.
That's disgusting.
Interesting.
It's hard for me to not believe that racism's not involved with this.
I want some hair.
I'm Whitney.
I'm Duncan.
You also got really fucking dressed up.
I'm so happy we actually got to connect.
I'll try it out.
In case you missed it, you can stream 69 Minutes now at ymhstudios.com.
In Chemesh, Abba, Shalosh, Shtaim.
Where my mom's at? Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at? Raising kids, cleaning shits, need a long nap. Where my mom's at?
Where my mom's at podcast with Christina P.
All right, listen, I added a show in Seattle at the Neptune and the Gramercy in Jewdork Titties. So check those out. And then San Francisco, the Palace of Fine Arts, and then Ridgefield Playhouse in Ridgefield, Connecticut, ChristinaPOnline.com. Buy my lipstick if you haven't already. And I'm very excited. There's going to be three new colors added. I know. I can't wait. I'm going to reveal what they are at a later time. But I'm so pumped.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But most importantly, I'm so thrilled to have Jamie Lynn Sigler, everybody.
Hi, my friend.
You're the greatest. Not Today Pal has become my favorite go-to podcast. When I travel, I listen to you guys.
Aww.
The Pizza War. Thank you, Heather. Heather's flying it in. The coffee. Do you want a coffee?
This is so fancy.
I know. Do you want a coffee?
Sure.
Oh, I love it.
What? Yeah. Thank you. That's so sweet. Thank you.
I know. I've been drinking a lot more coffee lately.
I have too.
Really?
Yes.
Why are you doing it?
I think I need it. I think it's making a difference. It probably isn't, but it just, my coffee tastes like dessert. So it's basically like, oh, I'm not eating a cookie, but I'm drinking a 350 calorie beverage.
I know. I've been, I got an assault. So I have a coffee machine in my bedroom. And I started doing, I know.
I saw that where you were saying that, I think I saw an Instagram clip where like literally the first thing you need to do when you open your eyes is have coffee in your mouth.
Within 30 seconds, I'm at the machine.
Wow.
So is
Cutter, by the way.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. We hear the grinding of the beans. He has one of those gyros.
Oh, he's really good.
Oh, he used to do the pour, the drip, all of it, but yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's very official.
He's a snob.
Yeah.
Coffee snob.
Yeah, I really like the Nespresso. They're not sponsoring the show or anything, but it's really simple. I know. And I get up, I go to that. But now I've added Illy. I do, I got an espresso machine, old school, just simple.
Yeah.
I worked at Starbucks in the summer of 1997, and I've owned a lot of fancy espresso machines. Don't buy the $1,000 machine. You know why? Someone talked me into one a while ago. They break down for every silly reason. Mm. Like the light goes off because of some error, and then they'll never work again. The best to buy is just like the one-shot, simple portafilter. Boom.
Awesome.
So now I drink a double espresso, and I put it into a cup of
coffee.
Yo.
Is that called a black eye?
It's something, bro. It's called diarrhea, and I'm shit. So hard.
Right after?
So, oh, dude.
That's your morning. That's like Rob's dream.
Oh, I know.
To wake up and poop hard.
That's poop hard. Yeah, Rob Eiler and I, we text a lot, and we found that we have similar mental illnesses, which is really cool.
That's what spawns you. You see each other. I see you.
I know. And you guys have such a great relationship and a great chemistry on Not Today, Pal. I just love it.
There's just people in your life that just bring out certain sides of you. the way I am with Rob is like I'm not with that way with other people, not on purpose. He just like brings out a very like playful and I feel very safe. He'll call me out. And I love that. Like, I love being called out. I'd rather you tell me exactly what you're thinking than me walk away and just have my head tell me all the reasons why you hate me.
Oh, my
God. You
know what I mean? That's such a good point.
So he's just, yeah, he just, I feel really safe with him. And I forget every time that what we just recorded is going out into the world.
That's the best part, though.
I know it is.
Yeah, that's the fun stuff. It is. That's when you did a good podcast. I always tell people, like, if you don't leave a podcast feeling like, oh, my God, I've said too much. I've just embarrassed myself, my country, my family. Then you haven't done it right.
Wow. Well, feel... I'm crushing.
Yeah. I should be mortified.
Every time I drive away, I'm like, oh I'm a mother.
Yeah. So speaking of, listen, what's going on in your world of momming? Because you've got two little boys. Our boys are very close in age.
Mm-hmm.
So Jack and Bo, but you've got like 9 years old?
10 and 5.
10 and 5 now.
Yeah.
Wow.
10 and 5, almost 6. You know, we're in one of those waves where they are being terrible right now. Like they're so bad, you know, and we're so much getting in trouble and there's yelling and then like there's, it's just, you know, and you go to bed and you feel like an asshole and you feel like you're gonna do better tomorrow, but then they wake up and they're not making it easy.
So when they say they're being bad, is it at school or
no,
at home?
They're great at school.
That's the sign. They say that's good.
Okay.
If
it's
the
annoying.
Kid is good at school but then a monster at home, that's normal.
But yeah, they say that's just good. Fall apart. It's more towards each other. They just can't stop fucking with each other. They can't stop pissing each other off. And my little one has the shortest fuse of any human I've ever come in contact with. Like, and it's not, he's not growing out of it. You know, you keep waiting. You're like, oh no, as he'll grow out. No, that's not leaving. And that's okay. We're learning how to deal. But, you know, I say to Bo all the time, who's my 10-year-old, like, you know what's going to happen when you do that. You know.
Yeah.
And he does know. And and I said, I'm like, but I'm the one that has to deal with it after. Yeah, like
the tears.
You can piss him off. You fight for a second. You run away. And then I'm the one that has to like be the heavy. And I don't like it.
It's the worst. I agree. My older one messes with the little one too. Ellis is 8 and the little guy's 5. And like the little guy will be spiraling and he'll be in a cranky moment. And then Ellis will just add kerosene.
Yes.
And I'm like, what are you doing? Same thing. I'm like, you know what you're doing.
You know,
bro. And he's like, what? I just needed to tell him to pick up the I'm like, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. Now this kid is going to unravel and then I have to deal with the tantruming.
I told Bo that he's ruined my dreams of being a fun mom. I was like, you have crushed my dreams and my reality.
Yeah.
Now I'm the asshole mom.
I agree. Like I'm a stand-up comedian. I should be the funnest mom of all time.
Yeah.
And it should be a fucking party. And they wear me down just being kids. This is not their fault, by the way.
Right.
Just doing what they're supposed to be doing, which is ruining every moment.
Thank you.
Thank you, Miss Heather.
That's so nice.
Yeah, like we got a Disneyland trip coming up. And like, I'm not.
Disney World or Disneyland?
Land. Because I'm familiar. I grew up in California.
That's more manageable.
Right. But I know. I have zero delusion that this will be fun in any way, shape, or form.
You're going to have about 10 minutes of fun total.
Yep. I've surrendered to the abject misery that I am about to embark on.
Healthy. Very healthy of you.
Yeah.
Very.
And like, it's a selfless act that I'm doing for my children to have.
Photos.
Photos, core memories. I can't, you know, I was at the fucking petting zoo, bro. You ever head up one of these farms?
I hate petting zoos.
Why?
Because my kids always leave with rashes and red eyes and like cutters freaking out that they didn't wash their hands enough and it was like hot and like gross people and I'm like, this was a waste of my life. But sorry, continue.
No, so
this is an amazing
cappuccino.
Isn't
it so good? Heather makes the best.
What the hell is this?
The best coffee. She's so good and she even puts little hearts in the foam, which is like amazing.
She's multi-talented.
I know.
Multi-hyphenate.
Sorry,
you went to a petting zoo.
So I was Tom was out, and so I take the kids to some farm here in Austin, which they have lovely farms, lovely petting zoo at the farm, and da 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 da. And I'm watching these parents, and they're, you know, carrying around like the 6-month-old who doesn't even know where they are. Mm-mm. At that age, you're really overachieving as a parent if you think that, you know. I guess they're doing it to get out of the house themselves,
right?
But I just remember doing that same shit. We were like, they're 6 months old. Like, they don't care. They don't know where they are. They don't. They're just afraid of the world.
By my second one, I would just sit outside Starbucks with his stroller pointed at the street and just, there's your entertainment for the hour.
100%.
And it was enough. We just found all the trucks. That was 100%. It. That's all he had to do.
But the abject misery of the parents, and I was like watching everybody's faces, myself included. You know, mom, I want the thing. I'm hungry. I don't want that popsicle. I want the other one. And just I don't want to take my shoes off. I want to put my shoes back on. I want to take my shoes off. I want to take, and just that misery. And I'm looking at all the other parents and I'm like, this is love. This is the very definition mm-hmm. of the thing of selfless act. And every one of these parents here, if you take your fucking kid to a farm or a petting zoo, you love them. You love. Because it's misery for you.
It's terrible.
It's the worst.
It's the worst. No one wants to be there. I don't even get to hold an animal. I don't get a turn.
Oh, there's no such thing.
No one puts a bunny on my lap.
No. What? No bunnies.
Brutal.
It is brutal. But then I start to think, too, I'm like, my parents, did your parents ever take you to a
No. You know what
nothing?
I got to do every once in a while? There was like on a main road in like, the Walbaum's shopping center. Walbaum's is like a grocery store. It's I guess
Jersey
it's an East Coast, Long Island. Walbaum's, Pathmark, those were like Long Island grocery stores. There was a Walbaum's shopping center, and every Saturday and Sunday there were two horses that people would parade in this little patch of grass, and kids could ride the horse. And every once in a while, my parents would pull over and let me sit on the horse for 10 minutes, and I thought that was the nicest thing ever. Now, if I don't have plans immediately for them when they return from Disneyland, I'm the worst mom in the world.
Right. Right. That's wild.
I was telling you earlier, though, I was being really mean to my older one. Because now he's getting to the point where I'm like, he's into travel baseball, which travel baseball, like, it's almost every weekend of my life. And we're driving an hour away and sometimes we were there from 9 a.m. till 10 p.m.
No.
Two Sundays ago because they kept winning and they won the championship. Mm. And fortunately, I love the moms that are on the team. They're dope. They're awesome. We spend all day together. Cutter's, they roped Cutter into being a coach. It's like, it's a cool group that we have and that makes it better. However, Bo is not great, but he's also not trying hard. And
sure.
My kid doesn't have to be the best. I could watch him strike out 1,000 times as long as I feel like he's trying. Because yeah. if you're going to ask us to pay all this money and forget that, show up every weekend
I don't know
almost of the year and do this shit for you, you better be working your ass off.
Bro.
So the other day, you know, he was crying 2 weekends ago that he was the worst on the team. And I didn't really want to like confirm that, but I was like, it's okay, like, listen, you have a daddy that used to play baseball, like, we've got this. Yeah. We have a little batting cage in our backyard that we built, like, we have all the things to make us better, we've got this. And he came home from school the other day and Cutter was like, oh, you've got hitting practice today, and he's like, I don't want to go. And I was like, well, if I was your coach, I would kick you off the team because you're the worst hitter on that team, so I think you need to go to hitting practice. Because I just had it. I'm yeah. like, don't bitch at me yeah. that you love this team and you want to show up and then you're not going to put in the work. And maybe sometimes I have to check myself because Cutter and I were very focused on what we wanted to do with our lives at young ages. So
yes.
it never seemed like work to me. But if I think back, every day after school, I was either at a dance class or an acting class because I wanted it so bad. I'm not going to say he's going to become a professional baseball player. Does he have a probability because of his genes?
Oh,
maybe.
Yeah.
But if he's not trying his hardest, you can be good at something. You can be great unless you work at it.
You have to be obsessed.
You have to be obsessed. Yeah. You have to be obsessed.
Disciplined. And you want it better than anybody out there. I know it's funny because...
But he's 10 and I'm like, yeah, am I being a jerk
no.
by trying to push him?
10 is... But then again, I don't know. You're not being a jerk.
But so, just for the time. I'd rather him play rec baseball and have fun and have it be once a week and it's just the neighborhood
maybe
kids.
That's the thing.
It's just the traveling shit. Like,
fuck off with this. I mean, he's 10 years old and they're already traveling.
Oh, no. Cutter's like, this didn't exist when Cutter was a kid.
No.
He's like, this is a great business.
It's a huge hustle.
It's a huge hustle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's too serious. Maybe the it's not your kid that's not serious. It's the system is too serious for a 10-year-old. You're expecting.
You should see some of these coaches, the way they yell at these kids and
stuff. That's what I'm saying. I know, in Texas, I told you when we did fucking flag football, they were shouting, come on, get the fucking ball. The kid's six.
Yes.
And busting his teeth and blood. Yeah, I was like, this is way crazy.
There was a kid that broke his elbow.
Nah.
And the league rules are like, if a kid gets hurt and is out, in the next inning, if it's his turn in the lineup, it's just you take an out for the kid. And it was like a close game. So they made the kid with a broken elbow just stand up at bat. Because they pitch so bad, most of the time they get walked. Because the kids are pitching and they're not great yet. And I'm like, if that was my kid, I'd be like, fuck you, you can lose. Abuse. We're going to the hospital.
Mm-hmm. This is racket.
Racket.
You're in a fucking weird racket, bro. Can I tell you?
But I love it. I love my kids. I love youth baseball.
And that's the thing. So I've made a decision that I don't want to do any extracurriculars on the weekends. So I after talking to you, actually, after talking on this last podcast we did together, because you were like, hey, every weekend we're doing. And I was like, and I get these notifications like I-9 soccer and that's on a Sunday. And I was like, no, not on the Lord's Day. Don't you dare make me leave the house on the Lord's Day. This is a day we stay in our pajamas. We eat sweet treats and
you
chill out. So we are into jujitsu. We're a jujitsu family. Tom is on the jujitsu and the two little boys.
All at the same dojo? Is that what it's called?
Same. I don't even know.
It's like a dojo.
The same chop chop house. And they all do the same. And then the little guys at 4:30 or whatever time. And then the big guys.
Do they go
the
multiple times a week?
Yeah. But here's what I'm doing. Twice a week. But their classes are back to back. So one kid gets an iPad and the other, you know. But I don't know. I don't know if that's going to get crazy.
This is it in Austin or in general? Like jujitsu is like taking over. Like
jiu-jitsu
I have
fever.
Seen grown men be getting like surgery. Like this guy I know like came in with his like shoulder all banged up.
Sure.
And I'm like, Scotty, what happened? He's like, oh, I had surgery. I was like, what happened? He's like, just jujitsu with the guys. I was like, what?
Yeah, because I'll tell you why. There are these 20-year-old instructors that have been doing jiu-jitsu since they were five.
That's right.
And they're like quadruple black belt, whatever. I don't even know what it is in jiu-jitsu. They're champions.
Yes.
And they're convincing middle-aged men, like my husband, that they can start jiu-jitsu in their mid-40s.
That's right. Where you get hurt in your sleep.
Tom, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Tom already is buddy taping his big toe to the little toe because he fucking broke his toe, fractured it in two places. Doing what? Jiu-jitsu.
Well, listen, Tom got a lot of love and attention for his basketball injury, so maybe he's aiming for a jiu-jitsu
maybe.
One now.
Maybe. I don't know, but you know,
if he does any of those competitions, I am coming. I am going to have a poster because I went for my friend's kid and it was crazy. It was like the, you know, in the Karate Kid where there's all the different mats. Like it was charge. Like Jack and I walked in to go watch his friend compete and him and I both were like, we walked out like fucked up. We
it's
were like,
gnarly.
That was a lot.
It's rough. It is. It's no joke. It's no joke.
No joke.
And so there's this lovely, anyway, there's a woman there who works at the dojo. I don't know what the fuck I'm calling it. Will
it's
you
my
look
fault.
It up? What is
it's
it called? Is it a jiu-jitsu dojo?
Okay. Oh, cool.
I don't know if I'm being disrespectful to the, because these guys are amazing. They really are. What the
are they senseis?
Fantastic.
Are they called senseis?
No, we call
masters?
Them.
Masters?
Sensei. Yeah, okay.
Oh, wow.
Academy head instructor.
Oh, it's academy and professor. Whoops.
Well, fuck right off. All right, Brazil. Anyway, one of the girls go, at the place, she's like, do you want to do jiu-jitsu? I've almost fucking laughed.
I would pay
face.
Top dollar to watch you in jiu-jitsu. I gotta be honest.
I said, first of all, I have a broken ankle from 2 years ago, and I'm 47 years old. Do you think I want to smell grown man's balls and feet in my fucking face?
You would spar with the men?
Disgusting. Grapple. They call it grapple. Yesterday I was watching the kids do it, and literally some guy's asshole and balls are in your fucking face, and they're like 69ing, and that's the thing, and
so
grappling.
A lot of pink eye happening
of
from jiu-jitsu.
And it smells like balls in there. And I'm like, this is the most masculine thing. I want nothing to do.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's good. I'm making my boys into toxic males, and I love it.
Good for you.
Good.
The world needs more of them.
But yeah, I'm not doing anything on the weekends. Fuck that.
Good for you.
I'm done right now.
Good for you. Every once in a while, I have nothing to do, and it's it's nice. Ugh. It's nice.
When is there nothing to do with two little kids, though? I feel like...
Well, now they're at the age that I don't give them iPads or their Xbox until the weekend because they're busy during the week, so it's I can get away with it. And so on Saturday, if they play Xbox for 4 hours straight, I don't care.
Shit.
I don't... It doesn't matter. And they play well that together.
That's amazing.
Yo, I wake up on a Saturday sometimes and I'm like, it's 8:30. They have woken up. They've made themselves cereal. They're watching a movie. I'm in a good spot.
Can I just so if you're listening to this and you have a newborn and you're so depressed and you're like, is this going to suck forever? No. It stops sucking when they can get on the iPad at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Which is what I let them do.
Yeah.
Find that fucking iPad. Don't come into my room at 6 a.m.
They don't come anymore.
Yeah.
Because they know when I come, I'm the fun police, you know?
Yeah. Play the iPad for fucking 4 hours until mom wakes up.
Yeah.
Oh, they make themselves cereal. That's the next step. They do.
Well, Bo makes it for both of them, but yeah. Mm. I know.
I'm going to get Ellis to do that.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I know. It's like, it's a moment I never thought would happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was listening to you. Gosh, you said so. You were so eloquent on Not Today, Pal. You were talking to Rob about... You really articulated so lovely. It was so beautiful. It was like 5 a.m. and I was going to the airport. I was listening to you guys. And you were articulating exactly what it is, the suffering of being a new mother. Or
is it when that husband wrote in about his wife?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I felt it so deeply. This woman has like an autistic toddler and a newborn. And she was like talking about going back to work. And he was like, I don't know if that's right for her.
Right.
And I'm like, she doesn't know what's right for her. Like, you need, like, you're, when you're so deep into those early stages, every bit of your identity is stripped away.
Gone.
It's so hard. And the hormones and all of it. And so, like, even having an uninterrupted shower where I knew that I could just be in there and no one was going to bang down the door, nothing was going to happen. And then you have a lunch with a friend. Like, you slowly, like, get back out to figure out what you need and what you want. But I just, when that guy wrote in, I just, you know, as a mother sometimes, you know exactly what they're talking about. And yes, I just went on a tangent because I felt so deeply for...
I could tell. And if you guys, do you remember, I don't know what episode, can you look up the episode that we could tell people to listen to how... Because Jamie really articulated the exact suffering of it. Because I always think, like, you know, people say, because Whitney Cummings is in here pregnant. And I didn't want to, like, break it down too hard. But I was trying to inch her into, like, what to expect. Because I think she thinks, the sense I get is that there's just, she's no idea. I think in some regards, she thinks she might be having a puppy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I thought I was having
a
dog.
You have no idea.
I didn't know how absolutely... consuming
even if you have all the help in the world,
doesn't matter.
Even if you're like, I got a night nurse, I got a nanny, I got my mom, it doesn't fucking matter. No one can prepare you for what you physically, emotionally, all of it will go through. And just the exhaustion, the sheer,
that's the biggest
exhaustion.
I almost wish you could, I do wish you could have the baby physically, just have the baby and then press pause and give your body a year to recover and then go into the newborn stage. Mm-hmm. Like, just have that baby suspended in time somewhere.
Yes, just floating,
yeah, because
waiting.
You're so beaten down and broken. You've just literally had your body split in half. Your body comes apart in half. Your hips spread. And this
Have
thing
you ever
comes out.
Seen a vagina with a baby coming out of it?
Well, yeah. I cry. I weep.
Oh, I am horrified. I watched my friend's birth and I was like,
you
that is
birth?
Not a vagina anymore.
In real life?
Yes.
I've not seen one in real life.
It was not a vagina anymore.
Tell me about it.
I can't even describe it to you. It was a cave. I was like, what just happened to
like,
your
you mean
body?
After it came like, out, there's
no,
like a camera.
No, before. Oh. Like, it just, like, literally, like, I didn't realize how big centimeters are. I was like, do you know what I mean?
No. Wait a minute. It's centimeters dilated? I thought it was millimeters.
Centimeters.
I know what you're saying. I never put that together.
I think so, right?
No, you're right.
I could be wrong.
But I didn't put it together that a centimeter is what, like that?
I don't know.
Tens?
I was like, whoa.
Fuck, dude.
That's,
yeah, and that's what we did.
I know.
And it's, yeah. I mean, yeah. And then I know. And then even like, even your sex life, like it really took up until 5 years postpartum with the second kid.
Yeah.
And where Tom is like, oh, you know, I think you're back to who you were. I feel back to who I was. And
me too.
He's like, you know, I noticed that. I'm like, well, yeah, because I've had my vag literally stitched from my asshole to my vag hole twice.
You tore?
Twice I tore. And not only that, but like your body is not your own for the first year if you're breastfeeding. Fuck that. You're still pregnant,
yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
And then from 0 to 2 or 3, you're still holding that baby all the time. The baby wants to be held. So it takes years.
I also feel like the mom guilt after 5 years started to go away.
Yeah.
Like I trusted the flow a little bit more. And a lot of the, you know, even if it's your second go around and you forget like all the stages where as soon as you think you have it figured out, something will happen. But as soon as you panic, like, is this going to be a serious problem? It gets a little better. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, you start to just like ride that wave a little bit easier. Just knowing like, all right, this is just going to be how it is forever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're convinced that you're going to be a kid that's going to wear a night diaper forever.
That's right. Exactly.
Julian, the first kid wanted to shit in the toilet immediately.
He did.
And he was like, I'm done. Fuck diapers. It was 2 years old. And he's like, I'm a man. I'm done. And then the little guy was like, I want to wear my diaper forever. Like, he's still more baby inclined.
Yeah. Oh, wait. I told you Jack and I
yeah.
like broke up over potty training pretty much.
We broke up.
We did. We fully broke up. We were like, bye. Never again.
Bye.
Nice to know you.
Yeah. Because he didn't want to.
He didn't want it. He doesn't like to be controlled. And I was like, we need to get into this preschool in 2 months and you have to be potty trained for it, bro.
Yeah.
Take it off. And he would go with anybody else but me.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So that really was between you and him.
Mm-hmm.
That was it was about something else.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A control thing. Mommy's telling me how to do stuff. I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and I really realize now, my kids are now 5 and 8, the lack of agency children have. And I'm really starting to get that because they're told what to do, when to do all the time. And now they're at the age where they're like, yeah, but I don't, you know, I can do something different. And it's like, I don't know. I'm doing this thing now where I'm offering them a little more choices instead of just ordering.
Choices helps.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And my husband is like, he deals with a lot of anxiety and the way it manifests is like, did everybody wash your hands? Take your shoes off. Blah, blah, blah. And it's, and I'm patient as I can with it. But as my kids, like a lot of the times I feel like I have the front row seat to seeing what they're getting.
Yeah.
And then they flip out or my older one will be that way with the younger one.
Oh, and you'll see them repeat the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So is he anxious? Is Cutter anxious about germs? Is he a
big germ guy? Okay. Yes. Yes. And also, I just think it's just control. I think he just lives with anxiety. And so the little things that he control or he fixates on things.
I get that so much.
Yeah. It's hard, though, because as my kids, I'm like, that blows, like to feel like, you know, they get home from school and he's like, take your shoes off. Wash your hands. And I'm like,
same way.
Dude,
I'm the same. I'm a fucking asshole.
I'm like, they just got home. And I feel like it sets up our whole afternoon to be a little stressful.
I know. Well, especially when they come home from the jujitsu and they've got their hands on the fucking mats and there's assholes and feet on their hands. And you're just like, but wash your hands before you eat the Chick-fil-A. God damn it.
I know.
Or at least
but see,
sanitize.
I'm gross. Like I don't think about it sometimes.
Oh, I think about it when the little one, because the little one's always sick within.
Yeah.
Fucking,
yeah.
Take them to the trampoline park or you take them to an indoor
you
play.
You know what you're going home with.
Within 5 hours, there's a fever.
That's right.
It's like, God damn it, dude. So I'm like, dude, I don't want a puking kid all night. The puke freaks me out.
Oh, we just went through it.
No!
A stomach buggy in the house.
Don't tell me that.
Oh, yeah.
Did you get it? Gross.
I didn't.
Because
I knew
Allah.
I wouldn't. I'm like, not a pussy. I'm not going to get it. But Jack got it first, had it the worst, then Bo, and then Cutter got it.
And you didn't?
Nope.
How did you not? You just use your
I never
will?
Get it.
Yeah.
I never get it.
Good.
I don't know. I just.
I like this.
I don't.
Did we find out the episode?
Yep. Episode 12.
You have to listen to this because they get such a great a question. It's from a husband. He's like, mm-hmm. She wants to go back to work after having the kid. I don't think she should. And it was really interesting because you get both sides of the the argument.
Yeah.
But you're like, yeah, I get it. You want to, you know, and also like I keep fucking saying this in different ways on the shows, but I haven't fully articulated it and I'm working on it in stand up, is that I really, really lived my life 50-50 and as a feminist until I had children. And I really was like, yeah, I can do what my husband does. I can be a fucking touring comic and I'm going to do everything. Fuck it. My career is first. And then I had two babies and I was like, yeah, but if I go full steam ahead, if I don't pull back at all, who's raising my kids? And can I and some people have no choice and I very much respect mm-hmm. that. But then if I have the choice and right. I choose my career over my children all the time, who am I and mm-hmm. can I live with that? And then you start to reprioritize. And now it's like the career, obviously I still do it what I can, but it's very much now like the kids are top and then everything else. And
and I think that that's like personal. And I think that we've been fed as women for a really long time that we in very many ways, I'm glad. Like, we can do anything that men
for
can do.
Sure. Blah, 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 we have blah. The choice, by the
we
way.
We have the choice. Giving
that's
us
huge.
The choice, exactly, is everything. But there's also an element of pressure, I think, that came along with that. That then if you didn't want that, you didn't want to
work or stay home.
Like, either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I remember having a very visceral moment with both my kids where I thought I was just going to be a stay-at-home mom and sitting with the two of them on the floor and nothing even particularly bad was happening. But I was like, oh shit, this is not for me. Like I have to go. I got to do something for me. There's still a part of me that's like needs some fulfillment outside of this. But I also have a beautiful sister-in-law that has five kids that just is completely fulfilled. She has no time to even not be, but you know what I mean? Like,
I agree. This is not a value judgment on anybody's choice. It's
no.
not about that. I think what it's about for me is that the narrative of like, I remember reading Lean In, that mm-hmm. book of the Facebook CEO,
Sheryl
Sandberg, right? Is that her name?
Yeah.
Fucking Sheryl Sandberg. And her whole thing was like, hey, when you have a baby, keep your foot on the acceleration pedal. Don't release the pedal. And I really bought into the feminist narrative of like, yeah, you could do everything. And it's like, actually,
you can't.
You can't. And you can't. You kind of can, but somebody's going to suffer somewhere. It's, I don't know, man.
Well, look, I came to the conclusion a long time ago that every day there's one area of my life that's just going to not get as much attention.
Of course.
Whether that's my health, whether that's my career, or whether that's my kids. Fortunately, I'm supported in all of the ways around it, like in the areas that I don't really show up that day, or not that I don't, I can't.
Yeah.
It is what it is. But there's a balance in that I give myself the grace now to hop around and just know that, you know, if there's something that really needs my attention, I always make a point to have to be focused on that area of my life. But look, my kids are 90% of the time where it's at.
Of course, dude.
Which is what I want. But they also know that I have a choice. I think also a kid can understand when a parent doesn't have a choice, right?
Oh, like, yeah.
And so I don't think that any parent should feel... I think just kids are aware of their situations And yeah, I had a real hard time leaving my kids with nannies. I think we've talked about this, real hard time. And that, and only until very recently, like I said, you were 5 years old after a second kid, you really relax. You do.
But even then I can't leave them. So
like, for too long.
Yo, I can't like even like one night max. Honestly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Cause like, I don't know, this is probably TMI, but. Tom and I, we had our anniversary and we went away for, it was supposed to be like 4 nights. And then thankfully the trip got whittled down to just 2 because Julian had a thing in Thursday morning, the early morning, whatever, where he was singing for like a Thanksgiving thing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I just had this vision of him being 30s in his 30s and sitting on the therapist's
couch.
And you
guys couch not being there.
And going, and then my fucking nanny came to the program. And I was like, I will get on that midnight plane because I can't do it. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't outsource everything.
No.
I did
the book fair yesterday.
Oh, fuck.
I ran the cashier at the book fair. And
how
let me
that?
Tell you, both my kids were so happy.
Oh.
That's everything. Yeah, they were like so proud that I was the one checking out the books.
Right?
Until I was like, no, you can't have another poster. Put it back.
I know, until you snap at them for some fucking stupid thing.
Do we really need that taco pencil?
Ugh. I'd like to show you a TikTok I found. It's the last, it'll be the last one on this TikTok list.
There is a pulse at the center of your womb, which beats with the womb of the Earth Mother. And as you restore that primal pulse, you come home to your power to birth and create. Creating from a deep connection to the mysteries. Creating rooted in your inner knowing. Creating connected to a sense of purpose that goes beyond what you want or your rational mind.
How do you collect period blood like that? Does she sit over a bucket for 4 days? What the hell is going on?
I'll tell you
how. Opening yourself to the magic that lives inside of you.
That can't be real.
This is the prayer for the wild womb immersion to drop deeper into your power and purpose. November 11th through 12th in Topanga, Canyon.
Okay, thank you. I don't want the advertising.
We missed it. November 11th and 12th in Topanga. Gosh, dang. I was just in Thousand Oaks. I could have popped over.
Wait a minute. I'm finding this whole lane. This is, for those of you just listening, this is a woman who has collected her menstrual blood and then is putting it on her third eye chakra and on her chest.
She went past the third eye. She was rubbing that down her face. I need to go back to how did she collect that period blood?
I'll let you know. So today I found one of this woman who collects her period blood and then waters her plants with it. I wish I would have sent it in to you. I don't know if I sent it in like really
how are
early.
The plants doing?
Fucking great, apparently.
Thriving. Does she like miss them or like pour it? I need more.
Pour it. So here's what she did. She pees. She bleeds into reusable, I'm going to throw up,
cups.
Maxi pads. Oh, cut. Maybe that would probably be smarter, actually. But she said that she rings it. Oh, here you go. Here it is. Play it.
Use period underwear and washable reusable pads. And every month, I soak them in water to get the blood out, wring them out to wash them, and then I add more water to the bloody water to make a sort of diluted blood water fertilizer that I use to water my plants. Period blood is really rich in minerals like potassium, nitrogen, phosphorus, and iron, all of which are incredibly healthy for plants.
That's true, it's blood.
And this is one way that I can have a reciprocal relationship with my plants. They bring me so much joy and green, especially in the wintertime, and I can nourish them in return with nutrients from my own body. Nothing goes to waste. I feel connected to nature.
Nothing goes to waste.
I wonder if you've ever given this a try. Okay, you guys might...
Okay, could you play the very like,
that's
play from
that
the top?
Lady's voice, by the way.
It's horrible.
I'm not buying it.
Oh.
I'm not buying that's her voice.
I don't think
I'm
it
not
is
buying
either.
It.
You're right. It's her. She's got like
this?
A hot, skinny blonde girl voice,
that's
and then
right.
She's not.
That's right.
Okay, so
I think she's really weird, gross, and woo-woo, but hear me out.
Okay.
So I use period underwear and washable reusable pads. And every month, I soak them in water to get the blood out, wring them out to wash them, and then I add more water
so
to the bloody...
Okay, so she wears... I know there's these like...
I'm so upset.
It's
right
so upsetting.
Now.
She wears the period underwear that you can just free bleed into and then reusable pads. And then she, hold on, soaks them, wrings them out, puts... He's so upset. Puts them in the canister... And then sprays that around her apartment. Like, listen, I do think that blood is iron rich. I agree. It probably is good for the plants. But you're just spraying your uterus around your apartment. And how unsanitary.
Her apartment stinks. Her apartment reeks. That is disturbing. Your algorithm is so fucked up on TikTok, by the way.
So
you're being flagged by the FBI. They're like, this lady, we can't keep up. We don't know what she wants.
It's mental illness. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I don't know.
I can confidently say I will never do any repurposing of my period blood. I think my days are numbered anyway with that. Like,
I know.
You know, like. let's just savor the last few years I've got.
Yeah, I can't get rid of my dirty period things fast enough. Like, I can't be disgusted enough with what comes out of me.
Are her pants all fucked up? Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
wait, from ringing
I don't
out.
Understand period underwear either. Like,
oh, I've tried them.
How do you trust it? How do you trust it? So you have to have tons of, like, accidents or like red on your pants.
I'll tell you. So I've tried Thinx. Will you look it up? Thinx.
They
I
work.
Believe. They're great. And again, they don't sponsor this show. I have tried it, but I haven't tried it on my first day of period or second.
Which is your heavier
like a lighter
day?
Like I'll sometimes. Those have.
Why is there a penis hole in it?
Whoa, that's rad. That's a dick period panty. Thinx.
Guys have periods too now.
So. Oh, that's right. I forgot. Men menstruate. Men have babies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, here it is. Thinx. And they really, they're great. I have to give them a shout out because they really have a good product. I have never like leaked, but then again, I haven't wore it on my heaviest day and I don't know what they recommend. So I wouldn't, don't quote me on it.
Call me old school.
I know. They're not, I mean, it's good. They work. I don't wear them like a long time. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Because I would.
But you have
myself.
To like change your underwear then multiple times
God,
throughout
I hate
the day,
that
right?
Fat model. Doesn't that fat model upset you? Ugh.
Well, it's just like nobody's gonna look good in that. You know what I mean? Like that's just not. No, that was not nice. Not fair.
That's the thing is that it just look. I know fat people exist. I myself don't look good wearing underwear and looking in the mirror. Like I hate my fucking naked body. I'm not saying that I look better than her. But I'm just saying, like, aesthetically, it photographs way worse her.
Nothing fits her that she's wearing.
Oh, that's a good point.
You know what I mean? Like, nothing's fitting her properly.
It's too tight. The panties
are
too tight.
The shirt's too tight. Yeah.
You're right. Shit.
I mean, look at me. As a former, I'm wearing a baggy flannel.
But you are a gorgeous Hollywood actress. You have been on GQ magazine. Like, you're a real deal. I mean, how do you
there's
feel
like a lot of
seeing
work
a fucking
that goes into those
fatso?
Photos.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This is a real beautiful model actress. She's on the cover of GQ.
Everyone's trying to keep it real, relatable.
Then, yeah, I don't want relatable. Look at this. Well, it's disgusting. Doesn't it upset you to think that she gets to call herself an underwear model?
I just would pass over it. I wouldn't, you know.
It upsets me because people like you are actually the real deal.
No. We're all mangled. All us mothers are mangled.
Oh, I don't put myself in her category. No. I mean, and I'm a fucking mess. You know what's weird? Sometimes when you look at your body and you're like, oh, today's the day I turn the corner into like worse.
Yes.
Like when your body.
When I'm looking at it's my hands and my knees lately. I'm like, so I have a wrinkle around my knees now. Okay.
It's wild, dude. It's wild.
Wow.
Dude.
I just really don't want like. Wrinkly thighs, you know those women at the pool. You don't have wrinkly thighs.
I have cellulite covered. They're
cellulite.
Since I was 12.
Everyone has cellulite. I'm talking like the wrinkles, like the, you know, like the. It looks like your legs look like a tree. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I know what you're saying. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I really don't want that to happen.
No, you're not gonna. Who
knows? Jury's
it's
out.
Not gonna
but.
Happen. Yeah, I think I don't know how many periods I'm going to have left. That's true, because I'm perimenopausal as fuck. And I'm like,
same. Yeah, my mom went through menopause at like 41.
Lucky.
Yeah.
Was
no.
that better or worse?
It was rough. I remember it being very rough for her, because no one knew what was going on. I think now there's more conversations about things.
Yeah.
But I don't think she knew what the hell was happening to her.
And she probably definitely wasn't on hormones or supplements or like anything.
You know what I'm noticing, though, as I get older? Like I never had PMS growing up, and I'm a bitch the week before my period now.
Yeah,
like, I am, like, really, like, I mean, I told Bo he was a terrible baseball player.
Yeah. I get, like, so depressed before my period, where I'm just like, oh, my God, like, draw the curtains, Mary. Like, I feel like I'm on my deathbed.
Same.
I'm like,
what's the point of anything? What's it all for? And then the next day I come out and I'm like, hi. And Cutter's like, hi. And I'm like, I just got my period. He's like,
yeah. Yeah, I can tell.
I'm aware.
I know. I have to tell Tom. I usually tell him, like, look, I'm about to get my period any minute. Forgive me. I am out of my mind. I am out of my mind now.
And it's like, it's often, you know what I mean? Like, it's once a month. I should remember, but I don't. And I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah. Yeah, you're
everything's
like,
so bad.
What's this darkness?
I think I'm
going to
die.
Yeah.
Why don't we just forget? Done. They're better off without me.
So dramatic.
And like, yeah. Cutter cannot say or ask me, are you getting my period?
No.
Does he have a death wish? Do you know what I mean? Like, you're coming with me. But then I forget. So in 2.5 weeks from now,
yeah,
feel free to remind me.
Yeah. I know. But it's kind of good because like everything's shorter now, period wise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like the ramp up is more torturous. I think like PMS is longer for me now where mm-hmm. it's like a week and a half.
Yes.
Of just like cramps yes. and misery.
Yes.
And then the actual event is no big deal now. I'm like,
I could barely water a plant.
Yeah. I mean, I soak my pads. I can barely wring it.
My garden is not thriving. I can take care of a couple of succulents maybe. That's it.
It's a trip though, right? Ugh. It's a trip like to lose your period. Cause I remember it feels like yesterday you get it at like 13, I think I was. And you're like, oh shit, it's a lifetime of this.
Yeah.
And then it's just, wow. Like where did it go?
I know. Gosh.
It's a trip, dude.
And men just get better looking as they get older.
I know.
It's really annoying.
It's so annoying.
Yeah.
However, I do think the, but that's only because we're accustomed to believing they're more handsome. I think it's, okay, hear me out.
Okay.
Here's my new theory.
I'm listening.
I think because of women like Pamela Anderson, who I think it's hilarious. We're like, she's so brave. She went without makeup to the thing. And you're like, wow, how messed up is a society?
And
are
like,
we?
Come follow me every day.
Right.
I'm we're the like, bravest gal there's ever
right.
been.
The ultimate the ultimate mark of courage for a woman is to
God.
Not wear makeup. Wow, how messed up are we?
So messed up. So messed up. And I love that she's doing it.
Of course. That's what I'm saying. I'm pro. Like,
yes.
Absolutely. So you have
Did
women like
Did you watch
like
her
that.
Documentary, by the way?
I got halfway through it. I forgot.
Oh,
I just fell asleep.
I loved it so much.
Yeah.
And you can tell how much her boys love her.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
She's a good mom.
She's a good mom.
She's meant to be
she's a good
mother.
Person.
Yeah, I think so too.
Really honest.
Yeah.
That was brave.
Brave. another brave woman is Justine Bateman, who is on Instagram. I think she was promoting something she was on or something, or maybe a book she had written about the fact that she hasn't touched her face.
Mm-hmm.
Will you bring up Justine Bateman?
Yeah.
And it's so, and look, guys, if you've heard me, I talk shit. I make fun of people all the time. Like, get your Botox, get your filler. But I mean, in real life, this is lovely that now she's setting the what's going to be the norm is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like if enough women are like, fuck this, we're old.
You know what my problem with all of the filler and Botox, and like I've definitely like, you know, had a little bit here and there to like preserve, but people are losing their like facial structure.
100%.
Do you know what I mean? And I think a natural cheekbone and like jawline is beautiful. And when you're losing that, like, it's really scary when, because I watch so much Bravo and I am, I think I look in the mirror after and I'm like, oh my God, I look terrible. And my husband's like, no, you just don't look like these women that you stare
bring
at.
Bring it
all
up.
Day.
Well, you bring up the housewives. You bring up a really interesting point because also when everybody gets filler and Botox, they all want to look the same. Everybody's
yes.
face looks identical now. So there's a prototype of a face that is cool right now. And that's it. It's so funny.
They all look the same.
They look like Instagram filter.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Crazy. Crazy. And it's just, it's a slippery slope that I like, I try to really keep myself
Whoa.
In check about.
It's exactly the same face. Like they all, you can tell that they're all going for the same
all
face.
All their cheeks look the same.
Yeah. And the eyebrows.
Yeah.
And the shape of the
oh,
eye.
Oh, Ramona.
And the lips with the filler and the cheeks and the boobs and the body and the thing and the.
And now they're all on Ozempic.
I tried it. I ate right
you
through
did.
It. I ate right through
you
it.
You ate right through it.
I'm a savage. I was like, can't
did
eat?
It make you nauseous?
Oh, of course it did. But
it
I
did.
Took it as a challenge. I was like, you think I can't eat through this? Watch this, Ozempic.
Good for you.
I swear, I ate way worse. I ate way worse on it because I was like, I'm not eating anything. I can eat
right.
a piece of pizza. And then my diet went to shit because I was literally eating.
How often do you have to take the shot?
Once a week.
Once a week?
Yeah. And I didn't lose it. I lost like 2 pounds. And it wasn't worth the, who knows what the potential risks are. Who knows?
That's what I'm saying. Like we still don't even know what the long-term risks of like any of these like toxins and fillers in
Botox.
The face are.
You're putting,
you know,
botulism,
I mean?
In your,
yes,
face.
Yes. Like, yeah. No.
No, you don't know. And no. It's meant for diabetics who are severely overweight, and it slows down your digestive system. And I was getting so nervous.
I have
nervous.
A friend who went on it to lose like the vanity pounds, like many people. It paralyzed her stomach. She's so thin now, but she can't eat. She's always sick, and they don't know how to help her. They don't
That's
know
what
I've to
heard.
Do to reverse
it paralyze
her.
Your stomach.
So, and she's like, I hate how she like turns to the side and she's see-through, but it completely paralyzed her stomach.
Yeah, that's
just
what
to
I've
lose
heard.
Like 8 pounds or whatever.
That's what I mean, and that's where it's that's where I am. I want to lose 8 pounds, and that's what I thought I would do. And but here's what I did: so that I would eat like garbage, but eat a little bit, and then I'd be like, I can drink on this. I can still drink alcohol, and then the alcohol kept me fat. Mm. Still, I think. I don't care.
Listen,
at this
cares?
Point,
I was going to say
I'm actually healthier off it because now I actually walk and exercise like I'm supposed to because
right.
I have the energy to do it because
right.
I'm actually eating healthy.
Yes.
So it doesn't make sense. I'm curious to see, by the way, in 20 years, because you know how, like, there's these memes going around of, like, what our ages looked like a generation
yeah.
ago?
Yeah,
yeah. It was, like, Flo from Alice, that show
yeah.
Alice. Flo was my age.
The Golden Girls were in their 50s. Okay? They were,
so
like,
fun.
Put out to pasture in Boca. They were in their 50s. That's me in 10 years.
So this generation who's been doing Botox and filler since they're in their 30s, they're probably going to look amazing, right? Because they haven't had like...
Yeah, but then your skin gets that when you fill it too much
yeah.
and then it goes away. You have like... And then you got to get a facelift, right?
Well, I'm going to do one for sure.
You're going to do a facelift?
Let me tell you something. My facialist, she's like an ex-New York. She did all the celebrities or whatever. And she's like, here's what you do, Christina. You got one good facelift. One.
You get one.
You get.
So when is it? When are you doing it?
That's the timing. She said, you have to pick the timing.
Mid-50s?
Maybe, yeah. She says, because Madonna messed up and she got hers during Evita. And she was only in her 40s. And Madonna got her first facelift. And she goes, don't do it in your 40s.
What is Madonna doing?
But can I tell you something? She looked like a space alien on TikTok, but I heard it's because she had a facelift and it was too soon. It hadn't settled. And she was going around and doing social media. So now it's settled and she looks great.
And she looks good? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, my only problem with facelifts is I feel like everyone's mouth looks a little stretched.
Always.
Like you're...
Yep.
You.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Listen. I'm not above one.
Oh, I'm doing it for sure. Not now, but in a decade. There's a woman that I know who's older than me, and she's got like that first generation or second generation facelift, you know, where it's just severe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the brow is like up here,
yeah.
and it's so shiny. And her lips are like that. Like they're turned inside
yes,
out
yeah.
from being pulled
her poor mouth.
You're like, whoa, you just look shiny and crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, but listen.
That's a slippery
They
step.
Love it.
They love it.
They love it.
Fuck, I know. I just don't want to look crazy and shiny.
Crazy either. Well,
oh,
if
wow.
we do.
You let me know, right?
Will you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I will.
I'll let you know.
Okay.
You look great. You look great.
No, you look great. Your face, you don't even know. She's sitting next to me. She's not wearing a lick of makeup on this face. And you're just so beautiful.
That's so
you're
nice.
So photogenic. You're a good human being. You have an amazing podcast, Not Today Pal, with Rob Eiler, our beloved Rob
it's
Eiler.
It's the most fun. Rob is the best. It's the most fun. And
he
it's
really
like,
is.
Yeah, it's just it's so special to have like this other thing that we're doing together that has nothing to do with the other thing we used to do together. That's just like really about our unique relationship and. Yeah.
I never thought about that. It's like your second wave of project that you guys are doing together now.
Yeah, but it's yeah. like, you know,
it's cool.
Rob said it in the one of the more recent podcasts we recorded where it was like, you stick with your people and
yeah.
you just keep sticking with them and throughout life and just knowing like you can keep coming back together and helping each other and doing things together. And he's just like, he's that guy for me.
Yeah,
yeah.
I love that for you.
Yeah.
Guys. You're wonderful people.
Thanks.
Check her out on Not Today Pal with Rob Eiler. And that's it. What else are you plugging?
I don't know. There's been a strike, so there's been
that's
no work.
Right.
So I'm for hire.
Great.
Take me away from my children. I've spent too much time with them.
A amazing. Thank you so much for being here, Jamie Lynn Sigler. You're the best. Thank you for tuning in. Subscribe to the show so that you get notified every... Well, you don't get notified. It just drops right in your bitch, right? Damn. All right. I love you. Until next time, stay cool, moms. Bye.
Where my mom's at? Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at? Raising kids, cleaning shits, need a long nap. Where my mom's at?
Where my mom's at?